Hi, it's Bill Woods, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit today about something that's been kind of on my heart. I really like to use more humor than I have been lately, but we're living in very serious times, and even though I like a lot of humor, I think sometimes we just need to look at things more seriously. Today, I'd like to talk about God's State of the World Address. January 11th, 2021, Governor Ducey gave his State of the State address, in which he outlined his plans and goals for Arizona. This is a time of the year when the President of the United States usually gives the State of the Union address to the nation. In it, we hear the President's views of how things are going in America and how he wishes for them to go in the future. Joe Biden hasn't addressed our nation yet. It was thought he might make that speech in early February, and then they thought maybe it'd be on February 23rd. It hasn't happened, and now it looks as though he isn't going to make that speech at all. I certainly would not want to upstage the governor or the president, but today I want to give you God's State of the World Address. The state of the world is a topic much more important than the state of the state or the state of the union. It's more important because it involves the welfare of not just the 328.2 million people in the United States, but includes the 7.8 billion people in the whole world. More people skipped Doug Ducey's message than heard it, but God's message is a message that you can't afford to skip because it's Jesus' assessment of the world, not mine. Also, because it has to do not just with the economics or education, but with eternity. Its primary concern isn't peace among nations, but peace with God. Number one, the state of the world's population. God would remind us that there are more souls than ever needing the gospel today. World population is 7.8 billion, with the highest growth in developing nations. Global outreach opportunities have never been greater. Christians are concerned about feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, tending the sick, and educating the illiterate. That's why we dig wells in Africa, buy blankets in Iraq, help the downtrodden in India, feed and care for the homeless in America, and on and on. And when we do these things, we're doing them for Christ and to Christ. So we need to stop and realize the world's population needs to hear the word of God. Then there's the state of the world's morality. What in the world has happened to our world? What a dysfunctional mess we have in our hands today. Our culture is losing its moral and ethical roots. People are redefining the meaning of moral in order to justify their self-indulgent, hedonistic behaviors and lifestyles. Principles of Americans have become rotten as moral compass of America continues to decay. Not only our Christian moral standards, but our political system. This can be seen by the newly elected members of Congress who are socialist Democrats. These anti-Americans are injecting poison into this country, pushing for the same socialist policies that destroyed Venezuela. I believe the moral decay of the United States is the direct result of our country's increasingly opposing God over the years in favor of secular humanism. As we continue to reject God and push him out of our nation, we're swinging our doors open and welcoming corruption, hatred, and violence in our country with open arms. In Edward Gibbon's final volume of the History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, we can see three of the five major causes he cites as destroying Rome and that are clearly apparent in America right now. They are the breakdown of the family, the insatiable craving for pleasure, and the decay of religion. We've become a nation as wicked or even more wicked than Sodom and Gomorrah, as evidenced by the increasing acceptance of sexual immorality and the gruesome abortion laws that have been enacted. We as a nation and as a world are steering off course into the broad road leading to destruction. We need a spiritual revival. We need to get back to God. We need to repent and turn to God while we still can. Ronald Reagan warned, without God, there is no virtue because there's no prompting of the conscience. And without God, democracy will not and cannot endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. Then there's the state of the world's crises. Jesus would direct our attention to the widespread crises we're facing today. These are heartbreaking times. With more people come more diseases and greater mortality rates. Globally, about 10% of the world's population has gotten COVID-19 or coronavirus. In 1 year, it's reported that 3 million people died from this pandemic. Vaccines have been developed to combat this disease, but their lasting effects are still undetermined. Doctors live in fear of a new virulent, unstoppable epidemic. In addition, there are millions of people at war today, and thousands upon thousands are dying. Rogue nations are developing nuclear capabilities, and shadowy terrorists organizations are seeking weapons of mass destruction. President Biden has repaved the way for Iran to get nuclear power, which is kind of like feeding a tiger so it'll have the strength enough to attack and eat you. Radical Muslims are taking over the Mideast and have set their sights on Israel and America. They plan a worldwide caliphate with Sharia law, which will destroy anyone who refuses to convert to Islam. Russia is moving towards an invasion of Israel. God warned that Iran or Persia, in the biblical name, with Russia, which is Magog, and a coalition of allies, including Turkey, Libya, Syria, Sudan, will go to war and will invade Israel. Ezekiel 38 and 39 warns that this coming war between Iran or Persia and Israel will take place sometime after Israel has been regathered into our own land as a nation. That was fulfilled on May 14, 1948. This prophetic war hasn't taken place yet, but you can bet that it's coming because it's told about in the Bible. This war will be unlike any other war in history. This war will unleash a series of irreversible events which will change the world forever. God set aside 2 whole chapters in the Bible to warn us of this coming war. According to the Bible, Israel must stand alone with God. Someone will ask, well, won't the United States be there to back Israel? Aren't we allies? When this coming war does finally start, the United States will be unwilling or unable to help Israel defend herself. We've already witnessed President Biden and his government have cooled relations with Israel, and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said Israel will stand alone if need be. The Bible warns the invading armies will ultimately be destroyed by God. It'll be a devastating war for both Israel and the whole world. And if you want to read something that's eye-opening, read Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Bible scholars are divided as to whether this coming war is part of the prophetic battle of Armageddon or will just precede Armageddon to prepare the way for the Antichrist. This will trigger the final 7-year tribulation, which God has set aside for Israel and the world, which is sometimes called the apocalypse. The whole world should be sitting on the edge of their seats with white knuckles, watching this terrible prophecy slowly start to unfold. Those who call themselves Christians are to examine themselves in the Word and in their faith to make sure they're not just almost Christians. It says in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. You know, too many Christians are lukewarm in their faith in Jesus, and they don't have much knowledge about God's word. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Actually, a more literal translation is, you make me want to vomit. Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors that stand before the Son of Man. The Bible promises that faithful Christians who are alive at that time and have endured in their faith in God's word are not appointed to this coming time of God's wrath that'll be poured out upon the whole world. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, and they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Any day could bring the world to the edge of the apocalypse. There are earthquakes, volcanoes, floods, drought, fires, blizzards, all kinds of natural disasters as God tries to get our attention. And I want to say, wake up. It's time to get serious in your commitment to Jesus Christ. Then the state of the world's technology. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, but you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end when many will rise here and there and knowledge will increase. You know, Daniel received some of the most sweeping prophecies found in the Bible. Daniel's prophecies take us from the days of the Babylonian captivity, which Daniel was a part of, to the very end of this age. It's fascinating to see how God told Daniel, after giving him some of the most remarkable prophecies found in the Bible, that to shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end, and then gives Daniel two signs that would help us identify the time of the end. One is the ability to travel from one place to another that would be unlike anything seen before in history. It's interesting to note that from the time Daniel wrote this book until almost the 20th century, the speed man could travel remained fairly constant. It was limited to the speed of foot, on horse, or in a boat. Number two that we're supposed to know about is the knowledge would increase at a rate and to a point unlike any time in history. It's also interesting how many reports and articles now brag about the sum total of man's knowledge is doubling at a rate unlike anything ever found in the history of mankind. Are you having a hard time believing in God? Well, just watch the news and read your Bible. It'll become clear. Why? Because God is warning us. The rapid development of technology is another distinctive sign of our age. Instant communication, entertainment on demand, and nanotechnology are daily changing the world so fast that we can't keep up. If you buy a new computer, it is obsolete by the time you get it home and get it set up. Internet connections have created a global economy. The world's open for business 24/7. The changes aren't all that good. In addition to online pornography and internet gambling, there's a danger posed to children by a lifetime of staring at those blue screens. The world bankers are planning to do away with cash, and the government is figuring ways to confiscate your savings to pay national debt, and then they can better control your earnings and spending. Again, we were going to be, or are going to be, talking about the mark of the beast, where you will not be able to buy or sell without taking the mark of the Antichrist. There's a global push now to get rid of cash, and Revelation chapter 13 tells us why. God warned us in Revelation 13 that the day would come when certain laws would be enforced, and anyone who refuses to go along with these laws would no longer be able to buy or sell. Listen to Revelation 13, 16 through 17. He, meaning the Antichrist, required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. You know, we never understood before this generation how this could be implemented, but today it's very obvious that they can have that kind of controls on everybody in the world. The World Bank is calling for governments to work together to implement standardized, cost-effective identity management solutions. Moreover, the nature of the deployments has required an economically feasible solution and has demonstrated that reliable biometric ID cards can affordably be used on a large scale, which would be just the forerunner of the Mark of the Beast. It offers hopes for the United Nations biometric ID card or sustainable development goal of getting legal ID in the hands of everyone in the world by the year 2030, with its Identification for Development, its ID4D initiative. You will notice that this refugee crisis in Europe is making the push for global identity system even stronger. Well, so what does Satan need to do in order to successfully enforce the mark of the beast? He needs to get rid of cash and make the financial system purely electronic, so that those in control will simply be able to press a button and stop God's people who refuse the mark from the being able to buy and sell. Pay attention. God said this would happen at the end of the age. And so, you know, we need to look at this. Then there's the state of the world's religion. Jesus would be mindful of the state of the world's great faiths. Online reports indicate that there are 2.4 billion Christians in the world, 1.8 billion Muslims, which makes about 24% of the population, and they are the fastest growing religion, 535 million Buddhists, 1.2 billion Hindus, and 16% of the world's population claim no religion at all. One Muslim leader proclaimed, "We aim to establish Allah and his religion in its entirety in every soul and upon every inch of the earth, in every home, in every institution, all through society." At the same time, persecution against Christians is widespread and underreported, according to in 183 nations of the world. Latin America is now the largest continent of Christians, and the church in Africa is the fastest growing. Meanwhile, Pope Francis is traveling the world recruiting leading evangelical pastors, going after Hindus and Muslims and whoever else he can talk into forming a one world religion. He recently proclaimed that Jehovah and Allah are the same God. Pope Francis decreed that in 2016, which was determined to be a holy year, that priests may absolve women of the sin of procured abortion during that holy year. At the close of 2016, he made permanent the permission that he had provisionally given priests to forgive the sin of procuring abortion through the sacrament of reconciliation which we more commonly know now as confession. In Catholic teaching, it was normal for only bishops or the Pope himself to be able to absolve the faithful of the sin of abortion, which led to excommunication from the Church. In keeping with his ministry of mercy, however, Pope Francis extended his powers to forgiveness to those missionaries of mercy, meaning priests who will visit Catholic dioceses and parishes. You know, only Christ can forgive sins. The Pope says those who believe they have the absolute truth, which would be genuine born-again Christians who know nobody can absolve sins and get us to heaven except Jesus Christ. He says those who go on condemning others through slander and defamation are in the wrong. He's saying religious fundamentalism must be combated because we think we have the corner on getting into heaven. The Pope is trying hard to replace God in today's world. Then there's the state of the world. The state of the world today shouldn't surprise us. If God was giving a state of the world address, I think these observations are the ones he would make. Actually, Jesus did give us a state of the world message that transcends the centuries. We call it the Olivet Discourse because he spoke it on the Mount of Olives shortly before ascending into heaven. You can read that in Matthew 24. And I want to read to you verses 6 through 14. Jesus described the state of affairs that would dominate the world between his ascension and his return. He said, "And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." Well, there you have it. God's message about the state of the world isn't very hopeful right now, but a new, greatly improved world with new leadership is on the way. So I say rejoice and be happy. Jesus knew history in advance, and he is still in control. No matter what's happening today, God is still in control, and we can have faith in that. The problems of this world won't be answered in peace initiatives or political movements or climate change seminars or world religions. The state of this world won't be redeemed by medical advances or modern technology. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only answer, and the return of Jesus Christ is the only hope. If you're disturbed by today's headlines, tomorrow's uncertainties, look to Jesus. Trust his unfailing predictions and lean on his unchangeable promises. He told us in Luke 21:8, "So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is very near." If you don't know him as your personal Savior, then your salvation is not near until you do confess your sins and ask him to be your Savior and Lord. I want to pray with you today. Dear Jesus, I pray that you'll help us. As we look around, we see the condition the world is in. We just sometimes are so perplexed, we really don't even know what we should do about it. And it's disastrous. We think about our unsaved loved ones. We think about our children coming up in a world that's hostile to God. And it's scary. But thank you, God, because of the fact you promised never to leave us or forsake us. You promised if we would call upon you, you would hear us. And you promised, Father, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Father, today, we who are listening to this broadcast, if any of the people here don't know you as their personal Savior, show them that now is the time, Lord, that they need to make that decision to accept you as their personal Savior while they still can. Father, I pray that you'll use this podcast for your honor and glory, and souls will be touched, people will be encouraged, and souls will be saved. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Again, if you want to get in touch with me, my mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can contact me through the email, lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. God bless you. I'm praying for all of you in Jesus' name.